This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alameen and Nabiina wa Habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-Yawm, which is the last day of... this one doesn't work, huh? Okay. The last day of Shaban, 1,445 years after the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina, which is equivalent to... which date is 11th, right? 11th March 2024. So inshallah we continue from where we stopped last time in the Dars of Ad-Da'i wa Dawa. What was the last thing we did? Huh? New chapter? I think we did that one. We did that one. We reach maybe where either Orifa and Alivet in the dunya. Okay, so we reached the place where the Mu'allif says, وَإِذَا عُرِفَ أَنَّ لَذَّاتِ الدُّنْيَا وَنَعِيمَهَا مَتَاعٌ وَوَسِيلَةٌ إِلَى لَذَّاتِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلِذَلِكَ خُلِقَتْ and say, وَلِذَلِكَ خُلِقَتِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَذَّاتُهَا فَكُلُّ لَذَّةٍ أَعَانَتْ عَلَى لَذَّةِ الْآخِرَةِ وَأَوْصَلَتْ إِلَيْهَا وَأَوْصَلَتْ إِلَيْهَا لَمْ يُذَمَّ تَنَاوُلُهَا بَلْ يُحْمَدُ بِحَسْبِ إِيصَالِهَا إِلَى لَذَّةِ الْآخِرَةِ. So Sheikh said, if everyone understand what I have mentioned, that any pleasure and the ni'mah that you get in the dunya, it's a mata', it's just enjoyment that doesn't last longer. And also we're supposed to be using it to take us to the ladhat al-akhirah. And he says that this is the reason why dunya is created, so that you can make it as a bridge, you know, as a stairs, you know, step that can take you to the akhirah. وَلَذَّاتِهَا فَكُلُّ لَذَّةٍ أَعَانَتْ عَلَى لَذَّةِ الْآخِرَةِ وَأَوْصَلَتْ إِلَيْهَا لَمْ تُذَمْ لَمْ يُذَمْ تَنَاوُلَهَا. He said, any pleasure that helps you to reach the pleasure of the akhirah, then this pleasure is praiseworthy in Islam. Yeah, it's something that is praised in Islam. Whatever enjoyment and the pleasure you have in this dunya, but it gets you to the pleasure of the akhirah, that would be fine. And also it's something that is good Islamically. You're recommended to go for it. Inshallah, we're going to see a couple of them, inshallah. قَالَ بَلْ يُحْمَدُ بِحَسْبِ إِسَالِهَا إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ. And it is something that is praised by the Sharia based on how much it takes you to the akhirah, how much it helps you, how much it supports you. وَإِذَا عُرِفَ هَذَا فَأَعْظَمُ نَعِيمِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَذَّاتِهَا هُوَ النَّظَرُ إِلَى وَجْهِ الرَّبِّ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. SubhanAllah. He says, if this is the case, what is the biggest ni'mah in the akhirah? Looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no ni'mah that is better than this. I quoted many times the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim, and he says, wallahi lawla ru'yatur rahmani لولا رؤية الرحمن في الجنات ما طابت لذي العرفان والله ما في هذه الدنيا ألذ من اشتياق العبد للرحمن وإذا رآه المؤمنون نسوا الذي هم فيه مما نالت العينان والله ما في هذه الدنيا ألذ من اشتياق العبد للرحمن. He says, if there is no رؤية الله عز وجل in Jannah, Jannah would not be interesting as it is. You know, the pleasure in Jannah is so great, something that you cannot comprehend, simply because of the ru'yatullahi azza wa jalla. If the ru'ya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there, then Jannah will not be interesting in the way it is. And Ibn Qayyim says, when the believer sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will forget whatever enjoyment they had before. قال هو النظر إلى وجه الرب جل جلاله وسماء كلامه والقرب منه كما ثبت في الصحيح من حديث الرؤيا فوالله ما أعطاهم شيئا أحب إليهم من النظر إليهم سبحان الله. He says the best ni'mah in the akhirah is to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to come closer to him and to hear his voice. Allahu Akbar. The best ni'mah is to be able to listen to the sawt of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Ru'ya, he says, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gave the people of Jannah ni'mah that is greater than looking at the face of Allah. وفي حديث آخر أنه إذا تجلى لهم ورأوه نسوا ما هم فيه من النعيم. He says when they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will forget whatever they are in. This hadith is weak. But there is no way for a ni'mah to be greater than the ni'mah of looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although the hadith is weak, we don't use it as a hadith, but this is a reality and a fact, you know, something that is based on the common sense. وفي النسائي ومسند الإمام أحمد من حديث عمار بن ياسر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في دعائه وأسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم والشوق إلى لقائك. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say, يا الله, I ask you to grant me لذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم, the pleasure of looking at your face, يا الله, and also the shawq, strong interest in meeting you on the day of judgment. وفي كتاب السنة لأبي عبد الله لعبد الله ابن الإمام أحمد مرفوعا كأن الناس يوم القيامة لم يسمعوا القرآن إذا سمعوه من الرحمن. الله الله. He says this narration also is weak but very interesting. He says people as if they never heard of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reading the Quran. Subhanallah. إذا سمعوا من الرحمن كأنهم لم يسمعوا قبل ذلك. You know, as if this is the first time they are hearing and listening to the Quran. Yeah, the hadith is weak, but this is very obvious. Nobody can read Quran like Rabbul Alameen. No voice that is more beautiful than his. So when people hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reading the Quran as if this is the first time they heard. وإذا عرف هذا فأعظم الأسباب التي تحصل هذه اللذة هو أعظم لذة الدنيا على الإطلاق وهو لذة معرفة الله وما ولذة محبته. Subhanallah. This is very good. Ibn Qayyim says, if this is the case, that in the Akhirah, looking at the face of Allah, coming closer to Him is the best thing. Listening to His voice is the best thing that you can ever experience. He says, therefore, whatever sabab that can get you, you know, that pleasure in the Akhirah should be the most enjoyable thing in this dunya. Iwallah. That's why the righteous people, very righteous people, they enjoy their ibadat. You know that some people, when they are about to die, they cry. And when their family asked them, or whoever was there, asked them about the reason why they are crying, they said, we are not crying because of the sins we put forward. Yeah, inshallah, Allah will forgive them. But we are crying because we are going to lose Qiyam al-Layl. You know, they mentioned righteousness, you know. They said, subhanAllah, it's not easy to detach yourself from these things. You know, those things that many of us find them so difficult, you know, and easy things to be doing. Those Salafu Saleh, they are crying because they know if they die, they will not be able to do them. Because the only one who continue to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the grave is? Nabi and Al-Anbiya, right? Al-Anbiya, the Prophet. Al-Anbiya fi quburihim yusallun. The Prophets, they are still praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their grave according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the best ni'mah in this dunya is being busy with the asbab that can take you to ru'yatullahi azza wa jal. Is that clear? What is the main sabab that can take you? Tawheed, ma'rifatullahi azza wa jal, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. Iwallah. Only somebody who is involved in this can tell you this. You know. Ma'rifatullah, knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really interesting and enjoyable. You have comfort in your life when you're studying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You feel very comfortable. And you feel relaxed. And sometimes, trust me, when you hold those books and you're reading about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes you feel like you're not here, in another world. Yeah. And these are facts and realities. وهو لذة معرفة الله عز وجل ولذة محبته فإن ذلك هو جنة الدنيا ونعيمها الآلي ونسبة لذاتها الفانية إليه كنقطة في بحر فإن الروح والقلب والبدن إنما خلق لذلك فأطيب ما في الدنيا معرفته سبحانه وتعالى ومحبته وألذ ما في الجنة رؤيته ومشاهدته فمحبته ورؤيته قرة العيون ولذة الأرواح وبهجة القلوب ونعيم الدنيا وسرورها بل لذات الدنيا القاطعة من ذلك تنقلب آلاما وعذابا ويبقى صاحبها في معيشة الضنك فليس الحياة الطيبة إلا بالله الله ابن القيم says you should know that the greatest ni'mah in this dunya is to be busy, you know, looking for the asbab that can link you to the ru'yatullah azza wa jal. He says, because this is the jannah in this dunya. You know, the Salaf al-Salih said, in this dunya there is jannah. If you don't get this jannah, it will not be easy for you to get the jannah of dunya. What jannah are they talking about? Jannatul unsu billahi azza wa jal. Being comfortable, you know, having the comfort, you know, when you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means you are learning. You're in the circles of remembrance, you know, learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His names and His attributes. And subhanAllah, this is the greatest ni'mah, you know. If you compare this with the dunya ni'mah, the ni'mah of dunya is just like qataratun fil bahar. You know, you go to the sea and just take one drop, you know. That drop of water, you know, related to the bahar, to the sea, it's nothing. The ni'mah of the akhirah is that one, the bahar. And the dunya is this one. He said, the ruh wal badan wal qalb, your soul, your heart, your body, all are created because of this ni'mah. Yeah. How many people have been busy with this? Only a few among us. But the purpose of your creation is to be busy with this ni'mah. قَالَ فَأَطْيَبُ مَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ عَزِّ وَجَلَ. I hope you guys are understanding this. أَطْيَبُ مَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, the best and the most enjoyable thing in this dunya is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most enjoyable thing in this dunya. وَأَلَذُّ مَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ رُؤْيَتُهُ وَمَشَاهَدَتُهُ. You know, and this learning about Allah leads you to Jannah. And the best thing you get in Jannah is to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what brings you satisfaction in this dunya? Ma'rifatullahi azza wa jal. You get it? Ma'rifatullahi azza wa jal brings satisfaction in this dunya. And ru'yatullahi azza wa jal brings satisfaction in the akhirah. You need to recognize him, right? Yeah, when you see him, you recognize him. How do you recognize him? When you know his sifat, you study about him. Yeah. And that what makes you more interested to see him, to meet him. Yeah. When you meet him, you will forget everything. So there is nothing that gives the soul and the heart comfort, you know, more than knowing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the basis of the ni'mah of this dunya, usururuha. بل لذات الدنيا القاطعة عن ذلك تنقلب آلام. You know, any enjoyment that is not connected to this enjoyment of the akhirah is going to turn into pain in this dunya. Yeah, either the depression or the physical pain that somebody goes through. You know, he's so happy that he kills somebody, but then at the end of the day he has to go through qisas. He's so happy that he commits zina. He enjoys. Right? But at the end of the day, he's going to go through the punishment. If he's a muhsan, we stone him till death. If he's not a muhsan, you know, somebody who never married, and what do we do with him? We beat him 100 times and send him to the exile or put him in jail for 1 year. You know, so he says, any ni'mah that is not linked and connected to the ni'mah of the akhirah, it is going to turn into adab and punishment. Iwallah. That's why if you remember that statement, you know, that I quoted from one of our contemporary scholars, he says, كُلُّ نِعْمَةٍ بِدَايَتُهَا لَا تُرْضِ اللَّهِ. You know, كُلُّ نِعْمَةٍ بِدَايَتُهَا أَوْ كُلُّ عَلَاقَةٍ بِدَايَتُهَا لَا تُرْضِ اللَّهِ فَنِهَايَتُهَا لَن تُرْضِيكَ. Yeah, I found it very interesting. He says, any ni'mah and any relationship with somebody that the beginning of it is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, the end of it will never be something that will make you happy. But then you're going to regret and suffer, you know, and wish that you never know this. قَالَ فَلَيْسَتِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا الطَّيِّبَةُ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. There is no way to for you to have hayatul dunya, you know, hayatul dunya, takun tayyiba, you know, something that is excellent and nice, you know. There is no way for you to have this except if you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No way for you to have this except if you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ بَعْضُ الْمُحِبِّينَ تَمُرُّ بِهِ أَوْقَاتٍ فَيَقُولُ إِنْ كَانَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مِثْلِ هَذَا إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي عَيْشٍ طَيِّبٍ. There used to be some of the righteous scholars, righteous people. You know, subhanAllah, he passed some moment of happiness. He used to say, wallahi, if the people of Jannah, they are having this, and you can imagine what kind of ni'mah, what kind of comfort he has in this dunya. In the way he used to say, wallahi, if the people in Jannah, they have what I'm experiencing now, definitely Jannah is excellent. You can imagine how much he has, you know, of enjoyment, you know. He says even in Jannah, if people can have what I have, definitely Jannah is excellent. You Allah, this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. There's an exaggerated description, you know. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, that one I forgot. It's a very interesting hadith, but I forgot the phrase. I'm afraid of quoting it in the wrong way. قال وقد تقدم ذلك وكان غيره يقول لو علم الملوك وأبناء الملوك ما نحن فيه لجادلونا عليه بالسيوف. He says one of them used to say that if the king and the children of the king, the royal family, if they are to know and to understand what we are experiencing of ni'mah and pleasure, لَجَالَدُونَ عَلَيْهِ بِالسُّيُوفِ, they are going to definitely fight us to get it, you know, with sword. They will come and fight us so that they can get it. So you can imagine how much Allah SWT has given them to have this conclusion. وَإِذَا كَانَ صَاحِبُ الْمُحَبَّةِ الْبَاطِلَةِ الَّتِي هِيَ عَذَابٌ عَلَى قَلْبِ الْمُحِبِّ يَقُولُ فِي حَالِهِ. Ibn Qayyim says, if the owner of the Muhabbatul Batila is the wrong love, wrong hub that somebody has, but he's describing this love in the way that if anyone can get this, this person succeed. Well, there is no love, there is no ni'mah in the dunya without having this love. Okay, we said we will not quote abiyat, but this one is very simple, inshallah, and straightforward, we can quote it. One of them said, وَمَا النَّاسُ إِلَّا الْعَاشِقُونَ ذَوِ الْهَوَىٰ فَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يُحِبُّ وَيَعْشَقُ. He says, people in this dunya are one of the... the real person who is enjoying this dunya, they're the ashiqu, people who are having the ishq. You remember ishq, right? What is it?
Infatuation,
yeah. This ishq, he says, the real person who is enjoying the dunya is somebody who has this. Get it? Somebody who always follows his desire. فَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يُحِبُّ وَيَعْشَقِ. There is no good in anyone who doesn't have this love and ishq. Imagine what kind of enjoyment this guy has to think that all of us are useless. If you don't have this ishq, you're useless. You're not in this dunya, you're in somewhere else. أُفِّلْ لِدُّنْيَا إِذَا مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ صَاحِبُ الدُّنْيَا مُحِبًّا أَوْ حَبِيبًا. He says, أُفِّلْ لِدُّنْيَا. The word you use for the tadajjur, you know, it's like this dunya is very annoying place if the person who is in this dunya is not loved or loves somebody. But they're referring to the ishq, not the correct love. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَا فِي نَعِيمِهَا وَأَنْتَ وَحِيدٌ مُفْرَدٌ غَيْرُ عَشَقِ غَيْرُ عَشَقِ. He said, there is no good in this dunya. This is another person. He said, no good in this dunya. And no good in any ni'mah you get in this dunya, as long as you are alone. Alone means you don't have ishq, or ashq, or mashuq with you. وَقَالَ آخَرُ أُسْكُنْ إِلَى سَكَنٍ تَلَذُّ بِحُبِّهِ ذَهَبَ الزَّمَانُ وَأَنْتَ مُنْفَرِدُ. This is also the same. وقال آخر تشكى المحبون الصبابة ليتني تحملت ما يلقون من بينهم وحدي. فكانت لقلبي لذة الحب كلها أعوذ بالله فلم يلقها قبلي محب ولا بعدي. So this one is saying that those muhibbun, you know, they are complaining because of one of the stages of mahabba, you know, as-sabab, a person reduced to the level of any childish, you know, because of this as-sababa. He says that people are complaining. He said, I wish all of that worried and the complaining, I handled it alone. Because those things are in enjoyment, but they don't understand. I wish they are all placed in my heart, you know, فكانت القلبي لذة الحب كلها. The enjoyment and the pleasure of love will be only for my heart in a way nobody ever got it before me or after me. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, if these are the statements of those corrupt muhibbun, فكيف بالمحبة التي هي حياة القلوب وغذاء الأرواح. What do you think the ladha, if the batil, if the ahlul batil are enjoying like this, which is fake enjoyment, what do you think the ladha of the person who is having the true mahabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be? This ladha is the ghidha'ul qulubi wa hayatul qulub. Hayatul qulub wa ghidha'ul arwah. You know, it's the life of your heart. Without it, you will not live. Qala wa laysa للقلب لذة ولا نعيم ولا فلاح ولا حياة إلا بها وإذا فقدها القلب كان آلامه أعظم من آلام العين إذا فقدت نورها والأذن إذا فقد سمعها والأنف إذا فقد شمه واللسان إذا فقد نطقه بل فساد القلب إذا خلا من محبة فاطره وبارئه وإلهه الحق أعظم من فساد البدن إذا خلا من الروح وهذا الأمر لا يصدق به إلا من فيه حياة سبحان الله. Ibn Qayyim says, if that mahabba al-batila, you know, the way, you know, those people are enjoying it, you know, and they think that nobody is having a life in this dunya except them, what do you think of the mahabba which is considered as hayatul qulub, the life of the soul, the life of the heart? Without it, there will be no life to the heart. He said there is no life for the heart, and there is no ni'mah, and there is no happiness for the heart, and there is no life for the heart except with this mahabbatullahi azza wa jal. He says, if the heart is to lose this mahabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will lead to that great ni'mah, كان آلامه أعظم من آلام العين إذا فقدت نورها. The pain of losing this mahabba, losing this ladha, is worse than the pain of the eyes when they lost the seeing, you know, the eyesight. They lost the sight. You know how, inshallah you will never know, but you can imagine how much this person who used to see and now he doesn't see anything. He will lie. It's a great mihna. And the way even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told this person through the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that if he is to be patient, Allah will replace those eyes with Jannah. It's a very big musibah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahfadhanna uyunana wa basiratana. Ahamushahu al basira. Because the eyes might be gone, but the basira is there. What is basira? Insight, right? Reflection. Yeah, you have a blind person, but reflects. You know, thinks wisely. Qala wal udhunu idha faqada sam'aha. And the ears, when they lost the hearing. والأنف والأنف إذا فقد شمه and the nose also went when it lost the smelling, right? And the tongue, when a person who used to speak cannot speak anymore, cannot taste anything. بل فساد القلب إذا خلا من محبة فاطره وبارئه وإلهه الحق أعظم من فساد البدن إذا خلا من الروح. You know, the ruh, when it goes out of the body will be gone, will corrupt, you know, rotten and change into something else which turns into a food for the animals and the insects. So Ibn Qayyim says, if the heart lost this mahabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the problem it get into and the fasad, the corruption that will happen to the heart is worse than the corruption of the body when the soul left it. And you Allah, this is true. But Ibn al-Qayyim says, unfortunately, nobody understands this except somebody who has life in his heart. You get the idea? Somebody who has life in the heart is the only one who can understand this. The one who doesn't have life in the heart will never understand it. He will be like the statement of Al-Mutanabbi. He says, وَمَا جُرْحٍ بِمَيِّتٍ إِلَامُ. The first part of this statement is, مَنْ يَهُنْ يَسْهُلُ الْهَوَانُ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا لِجُرْحٍ بِمَيِّتٍ إِلَامُ. If you have a person who accepts humiliation, doesn't mind. You know, if somebody comes and humiliates you, how do you feel? So bad. You'll be very reactive. But that person doesn't care. Living in a state of humiliation and he doesn't mind to be humiliated, and he put himself in the state of humiliation. So that's why he says, وَمَا لِجُرْحٍ بِمَيِّتٍ إِلَامُ مَنْ يَهُنْ يَسْهُنُ الْهَوَانُ عَلَيْهِ. The person who is so little, you know, he belittle himself and accept, you know, belittling from others and humiliation from others, يَسْهُلُ الْهَوَانُ عَلَيْهِ. That would be very simple for him to accommodate and tolerate. وَمَا لِجُرْحٍ بِمَيِّتٍ إِلَامُ. If you have a dead body, when you go with your knife and cause some injury to that body, does he feel anything? No, he doesn't feel. مَا لِجُرْحٍ بِمَيِّتٍ إِلَامُ. There are some people, you talk to them, they're mayyiti. I see the Western community and their hood like that. You will like, you talk, you come and demonstrate, you do everything. Does that change them? No. Yeah. Because they're living a very useless life, which is not life actually. You say whatever you say to them, it doesn't make any difference. A useless person accepts useless things and he doesn't mind, he doesn't care. Life exists with Islam. No Islam, no life. قال والمقصود والمقصود أن أعظم لذات الدنيا هو السبب الموصل إلى أعظم لذات الآخرة. So Ibn Qayyim says, what I want you to understand from all of the previous statement is the fact that أعظم لذات الدنيا هو السبب الموصل إلى أعظم لذات الآخرة. The greatest ni'mah in this dunya is the sabab that takes you to the ni'mah of the akhirah. Meaning he wants you to understand this and to take this as a very serious matter, that the greatest time you enjoy is when you are busy with the sabab that can take you to the ladhatu al-akhirah. Praying to Allah, fasting, you know, birrul walidain, anything that is good, which you do it intentionally and according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. قال ولذات الدنيا ثلاثة أنواع. You have three types of لذة الدنيا. فأعظمها وأكملها ما أوصل إلى لذة الآخرة ويثاب الإنسان على هذه اللذة أتم ثوابه. ولهذا كان المؤمن يثاب على ما يقصد به وجه الله عز وجل من أكله وشربه ولباسه ونكاحه وشفاء غيظه بقهر عدوه وعدو الله. فكيف بلذة إيمانه ومعرفة الله ومحبته له وشوقه إلى لقائه وطمعه إلى رؤية وجهه الكريم في جنة النعيم. Ibn al-Qayyim says there are three types of ladha, three types of pleasures and enjoyment. The best one is the one that takes you to the ladha to the akhirah, the one that links you to the pleasure of the akhirah. ويثاب الإنسان على هذه اللذة أتم ثواب. And when a person gets busy with this ladha, this pleasure, this enjoyment, Allah reward him for that, the greatest and the best reward. That's why a Muslim who does things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although they are dunya things, but he's doing them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, Allah will reward him for this. When you eat for the sake of Allah, do you get a reward? Yes, you take halal and you do it in the way Sharia asks you to do, you will be rewarded. When you drink, the same thing. When you wear the clothes, the same thing. When you marry, the same thing. And also when you gain a victory, you know, against your enemy, you're happy with that, you know, the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will reward you for that happiness. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, if Allah is rewarding you because of this ni'mah of the dunya that you're getting, what do you think, you know, you will be getting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are improving your iman, studying what can increase your iman? If you get busy with eating and drinking and you do it according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you get reward for that. What do you think if you are to study what will improve and increase your iman? What do you think if you get busy with that which will lead you to ma'rifatullahi azza wa jal? What do you think if you are busy with something that will make you interested to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment? You get the idea. So the reward of those things will be greater than the reward you get when you are doing your dunya activities for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first type of ladha, the one that is linking you to the ladha to akhirah. The one that links you to the ladha of akhirah. The second one, ladha tamat, tamna'u ladha to akhirah. وَتُوَقِبُ أَعْلَامًا أَعْظَمْ مِنْهَا كَلَذَّةِ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَانًا مَوَدَّةَ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا يحبونهم كحب الله ويستمتعون بعضهم ببعض كما يقولون في الآخرة إذا لقوا ربهم ربنا استمتع بعضنا ببعض وبلغنا أجل الذي أجلت لنا قال النار مثواكم خالدين فيها إلا ما شاء الله إن ربك حكيم عليم وكذلك نولي بعض الظالمين بعضا بما كانوا يكسبون ولذة أصحاب الفواحش والظلم والبغي في هذه الدنيا والعلو بغير الحق في هذه الأرض والعلو بغير الحق. He said the second لذة, the first one is the لذة that takes you to the akhirah, لذة الآخرة. The second one is a لذة that disconnects you from the لذة الآخرة, deprive you the لذة الآخرة. You know, you are busy with an enjoyment which deprives you of the ladha of the akhirah. And he says this is the ladha that usually, and for sure it is going to lead you to pain in the end of the day. At the end of the day, you will be in pain. وَتُعْقِبُ أَعْلَامًا أَعْظَمْ مِنْهَا. Yeah, you enjoy, but at the end of the day, you will suffer more than that enjoyment. كَلَذَّةِ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. This is just like the ladha of those people who take other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as nid. Do they enjoy doing that? Of course they enjoy. Look at them when they're worshipping their idols and they're worshipping whatever they're worshipping, you know. Worship themselves or their scholars or their shuyukh, their awliya, you know. Whatever they're worshipping. Subhanallah, when I see some of these people, you see the way they are enjoying. Their batin, you see like somebody is in another world. Shaitan is taking him to those ladhat to make him think that this is the best way to be doing things. But at the end of the day, if you follow up the life of these people, wallah, it ends with pain. It ends with pains. They will never relax in this dunya. But then, so Ibn Qayyim says this is just like those people. They are enjoying. You know, part of them is, giving enjoyment and pleasure to the other part. And in the Day of Judgment, look at their conversation. They say, رَبَّنَا اسْتَمْتَعَ بَعْضُنَا بِبَعْضٍ وَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلَ الَّذِي أَجَّلْتَلْنَا. We live in this dunya. Part of us is benefiting the other part, enjoying the other part. He says, we live like that. We're just enjoying and pleasure, doing whatever we want. And until the time we reach the ajal that you prescribe for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, النَّارُ مَثْوَاكُمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. You're going to live here in hell forever and ever. And they will never go out of it for that. But the non-believers, when they go to hell, you know, worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no time for them to come out of hell. Allah says, لَا بِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. You know, in three places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that the people in hell, they will go and stay there forever. And he's referring to those people who died in shirk, in the kufar. You know, they will go to hell forever. Three places. What are these three places? Last time I think I asked you and you lost. So let's see whether you will lose this time around or not. In three places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people who are going to hell, they will go to hell abadan. Use the word abadan in three places. Last time I asked, you lost. This time also, you lost. Next time also, you will lose. Oh, next time, not this time. Which one is the first one? In Surah An-Nisa, we have one. They have one in Surah An-Nisa. Last part of Surah An-Nisa. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Which ayah? And we have another one in Surah Al-Ahzab. Also خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. I don't want to complete the other one, the next ayah, because you will know. And we have another one in Surah Al-Jinn. Also, Khalidina fiha abada. Okay, the rest you should go and get them. Anyway, so these little tiny things, you know, it's good. It makes you, you know, interested in learning Tajweed. And yeah, when we're learning Tajweed, they brought up these. They are so simple, but you feel like you learned something new, you know? Yeah. There are two ayat in the Quran that has Huruf al-Hijaiya. You know the 28 alphabet? There are two ayat in the Quran only. Each one of them has the whole thing, from A to Z. What are these ayat? If you lost that one, for sure you're going to lose this one. What are these ayat? Please give me the wrong one. There is one wrong one that I know you will say. Ayatuddin. I know you're going to say Ayatuddin. That longest ayah in the book of Allah, right? No, it has. There are some letters that are missing from it. Yeah. You know, maybe a lot are missing from it. Any long ayah that you're going to mention is wrong, except two. Except those two. One in Surah Al-Imran. And the other one, if I mentioned, you already know which ayah is that. In Surah 2, Al-Fatih. Surah Al-Fatih. One in Surah Al-Imran, and the other one in Surah 2, Al-Fatih. Which one is Surah Al-Fatih? That one also you forgot. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Yeah, go after my class, not my class, after my dars, go and check and see. You see all the letters are there. Muhammad Rasulullah, until then. And the first one is in Surah Al Imran. ثُمَّ أَنزَلْ عَلَيْكُم مِّن بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَةً نُعَاسًا. Yeah, those Hufaz, you know, they finish memorizing the Quran like Fatiha. They even have time to go and see which one is. In our time, لَا حَوْلَ لَكُمْ. Even Fatiha, maybe we make mistake. So the month of Ramadan is approaching. This is the month of revision. Yeah, to make your memorization perfect, inshallah. So they say, وَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلًا الَّذِي أَجَّلْتَ لَنَا خَالِدِينَ فِي قَالَ النَّارُ مَثْوَاكُمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ حَكِيمٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim, and is also all-knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, and He is also Al-Hakim. وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is how we make the ظَالِمُونَ busy with each other. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, because of their evil behavior. Ibn Qayyim says the same goes to لَذَّاتُ أَهْلُ الْفَوَاحِشِ. Those people are committing liwat, homosexuality, zina, you know, lesbianism, bestiality. These are all of these useless things. Somebody was told that the human beings are over, they finished. You go and marry animals. Yeah, we're told in the West that they do this, you know, marry their dogs and wallahu alam, you know. But that behavior, if a person is not behaving well, that is very possible. If he converted himself into a dog, I think marrying dog is much easier. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. And they have some people also who enjoy having sex with the dead people. If there is no support by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aql will take a person to the lowest position. This aql needs support from Allah. Otherwise, what you don't imagine human being to do, Allah, you find them doing. You Allah. So we need support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we, for us to get this support, we have to attach ourselves to the Sharia. Well, dhulm, those person who are oppressed, those people who are oppressing others, do they enjoy it? Yes, they do. They do enjoy. But at the end of the day, they pay the price. Well, baghi, injustice, you know, and corrupting the earth. Well, uluwu bi ghayri al-haq, and putting yourself on top of everyone without having any justification to that. قَالَ وَهَذِهِ اللَّذَّاتُ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ إِنَّمَا هِيَ اسْتِدْرَاجٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَهُمْ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بِهَا أَعْظَمَ الْآلَامِ وَيُحَرِّمْهُمْ بِهَا أَكْمَلَ اللَّذَّاتِ بِمَنْزِلَةِ مَنْ قَدَّمَ لِغَيْرِهِ طَعَامًا لَذِيذًا مَسْمُومًا يَسْتَدْرِجُهُ إِلَى بِهِ إِلَى هَلَكِهِ. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. سَأَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينٌ. الله الله. Ibn Qayyim says, this enjoyment, this bad one, he said, there are none other than istidraj. You know istidraj? to give respite to a person. Yeah, just give him time. But you already plan to get him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them respite. Up to the moment he will punish them. They will regret. You get the idea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them istidraj, will drag them until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get them and punish them and put them in the worst type of punishment. Just like somebody who gave a nice and fancy and excellent food to another person, but he put poison in it. That person will enjoy. Enjoy what? Death. You know? The thing that will lead him to death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he does that with many people. Give them a lot of dunya. Yeah, up to the moment they started thinking that, khalas, no poverty, you know, no difficulty or hardship can affect them. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cut them from the root. He says, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We're going to give them respite from directions that they never expect. وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm just giving them respite. إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my kaid, my plan, my plot, my kaid, he says, mateen, is very strong and powerful. Meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala releases his punishment, you will never see punishment like that. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ فِي تَفْسِيرِهَا كُلَّمَا أَحْدَثُوا ذَنْبًا أَحْدَثَ لَهُمْ نِعْمًا. Subhanallah. Whenever they introduce a sin, Allah will give them a ni'mah. That's istidraj. They do a sin, Allah will give them ni'mah. They commit sin, Allah will give them ni'mah. They commit sin, Allah will give them. What do you think they will be thinking? Everything is fine. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, you know. But Allah is not committing unfairness against them because He already told them that I don't want this. True? Allah already told them I don't want it. They don't want to listen. No, do not. They don't want to listen. He sent prophets and messengers to remind them. They said, we don't want to listen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave them. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي ذُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Allah give them and give and give and give. And they are still committing the sin. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cut them off from the root. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, until we let them enjoy life, until the time they become so happy with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, they forgot any consequence, any negative consequence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will cut them from the root. We will remove them, we will put them in a state of humiliation. Allah says, we cut the root of those oppressors. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I love this conclusion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we cut them off from the root. We remove them from existence. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Iyawallah walhamdulillah. Because when evil has been taken away from the earth, walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The earth will be happy that these guys are gone. وَقَالَ تَعَلَى فِي أَصْحَابِ هَذِهِ اللَّذَّةِ أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these people, what's wrong with them? Do they think that what we are giving them of children and wealth, this is just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them and He is hastening, you know, the good, you know, to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them good. Do they imagine, do they think that this is good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of their behavior? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bala yashurun. These guys are ignorant. They are blind. They don't know what exactly is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing that for them. وَقَالَ فِي حَقِّهِمْ فَلَا تُعْجِبُكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't you ever be deceived by what you see us giving them. Wealth and children and ni'mah and everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we're giving this to them so that it will turn into a punishment when they meet us on the day of judgment. And they will be going out of this life in this state of humiliation. قال وهذه اللذة تنقلب آخرا آلاما من أعظم الآلام كما قيل مآرب كانت في الحياة لأهلها عذابا فصارت في المعاد عذابا. Ibn al-Qayyim says all of these pleasures and ni'mah that a person is getting in this dunya that is cutting him off from the ladha of the akhirah, he will receive nothing, you know, at the end except punishment and pain. Just like that old bait that we had mentioned long ago, مَآرِبُ كَانَتْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ لِأَهْلِهَا عِذَابًا فَصَارَتْ فِي الْمَعَادِ عَذَابًا. You know, things and wishes that people used to enjoy, you know, they always enjoy it. They do things that they enjoy. But unfortunately, when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it turns into the punishment. You get the idea? So any ni'mah that cuts you from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah, this is the wrong ni'mah, and a person is not supposed to be busy with that. Because at the end of the day, you will receive nothing except punishment. The last one, I was going to stop here, but I guess we have only a few lines left. The last one, which is a note third, is لَذَّةٌ لَا تُعْقِبُ لَذَّةً فِي دَارِ الْقَرَارِ وَلَا تَأَلُّمًا وَلَا تَمْنَوْ أَصِلَ لَذَّةِ دَارِ الْقَرَارِ وَإِنْ كَانَ وَإِنْ مَنَعَتْ كَمَالَهَا وَهَذِهِ اللَّذَّةُ وَهَذِهِ اللَّذَّةُ الْمُبَاحَةُ الَّتِي لَا يُسْتَعَانُ بِهَا عَلَى لَذَّةِ الْآخِرَةِ فَهَذِهِ زَمَانُهَا يَسِيرٌ وليس لتمتع وليس لتمتع النفس بها وليس لتمتع النفس بهذا قدر ولا بد ان تشغل اما او تشغل اما هو خير وانفع منها وهذا القسم هو الذي اناه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بقوله كل لهو يلهو به الرجل فهو باطل الا رميه بقوسه وتاديبه فرسه وملاعبة امرأته فهن من الحق فما أعان على لذة المطلوبة لذاتها فهو حق وما لم يعن عليه فهو باطل. So the last one is the one that is neutral. Doesn't help you in the akhirah and it doesn't destroy your akhirah. We have the ladha that helps you to reach akhirah. We have the one that cuts you off from the akhirah. And we have the middle one. The one that is not helping your akhirah, but is not also stopping your akhirah. You get it? And you don't use it to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this one, Ibn al-Qayyim says, usually it reduces the value of the ladhatul akhirah because it is a waste of time. Salam. You remember that? It is a waste of time, right? Yeah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about zuhud, and Ibn al-Qayyim says, az-zuhud tarku ma la yanfa'u fi al-akhirah. Az-zuhud tarku ma la yanfa'u fi al-akhirah. Zuhud is to stay away from that which is not beneficial to your akhirah. Zuhud is to stay away from that which is beneficial to your akhirah. So this ladha, the neutral one, it is not benefiting the akhirah, but at the same time it is not harming that akhirah purposely, but it is leading you to waste your time, which you could use the time to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says this one is like what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kullu lahwin yalu bihi, any pleasure and any game that a person is playing, fahuwa batilun. You know, the games and the playing, you know, that you're doing is batil. Batil means falsehood. Illa ramyuhu biqawsihi. Except ramyuhu biqawsihi. You're learning the archery. Yeah. Is there any playing in it? Yeah, we enjoy when we go, although you're training yourself, but there is a lot of enjoyment. You shoot the target you got, you enjoy. Who win, who lost, you know? Yeah. وَتَأْدِيبِهُ فَارَسَهُ. You want to train your horse, you know, for jihad. You have to train the horse for that, otherwise it will run away with you. Yeah, or get you into trouble, you know? And the last one, وَمُلَاعَبَتُهُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ. And when you play with your wife, if you don't have one. Thank you, Ibn al-Qayyim, for mentioning this, right? And every time when we come, there has to be some statement that will tell you guys are losing. Maybe that's why you cannot focus in the classes. Yeah, you hear me saying assalamu alaikum, right? Because I see a lot using their phones. So I'm talking to Adam and Qayyum. I think these are the only ones who left without using the phone. So we are taking note. Okay, so have a wife so that inshallah you can get this benefit, right? Yeah, that's why I kept on saying marriage is interesting. Whatever you do, Allah SWT reward you for that. Whatever you do, as long as it's correct, and you enjoy your time, your family enjoy, but at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for that. قَالَ فَهُنَّ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. So this is the plane that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you know, accept and appreciate from you. I reward you for that. Other than that, Ibn Qayyim says, whatever benefits your akhirah is praiseworthy. And whatever harms your akhirah is blameworthy, is something that is batil in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafir. So let's stop here, inshallah. In the next class, we move on to the next fasl. Ithillah azza wa jal. Barakallahu feekum.
Barakallahu feekum, Sheikh. There is a question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We know that even in the airplane, we have to pray standing up. However, as a pilot, it is dangerous to do so. The concern is if...
No, that is autopilot, right?
No, Sheikh.
By the way, before you continue, he said, you know Ibn Baz, right? You know Ibn Baz? Yeah, Ibn Baz, the Sheikh. Waqas doesn't know him. It's one big Sheikh. You never know Ibn Baz.
I heard the name.
I heard the name, right? Well, who do you think he is? Very simple person or? Very, very, you call him very big guy, you know. Just a Sheikh, you know. So Ibn Baz went to the aeroplane. The pilot knows that Ibn Baz is there. And you know how, because it's number one in Saudi. Yeah, number one. So he was in the aeroplane. So the pilot realized that among his passengers, there is Ibn Baz. So he left the place and he came, you know. So those people who are with Ibn Baz, since he doesn't see, they told him, Sheikh, this is the pilot. He's here to say salam to you. He said, what do you mean? The one who is driving. And he is here with us. So please tell him to go back. We say salam on. Anyway, so if it is possible for him to put it, I don't know how does it work. Is it just like that? I just put it on autopilot and then leave, or when it is necessary? If it is like that, you know, the aeroplane is designed for this. Yes, the pilot should just do this. Or if there is a co-pilot, you know, have the person take over and then he goes and play and pray. If this is possible, but if this autopilot is just for emergency, then he doesn't go for it. Yeah, I don't know how does it work. He doesn't go for it. He just pray seated, inshallah. Or wait until he reaches the destination like anybody else. You know, if the time for that prayer will remain, or the prayer that is connected to it, if the time will still be there, let's say he did not pray Zuhur, but he will be landing in a place where, before the end of Asr time, Asr prayer time, then he is not supposed to pray in the aeroplane. He has to wait first until he reaches the destination so that he can pray calmly and also observing all of the requirements. Next.
So as a pilot, he can sit down?
He can sit down and pray, just like anybody else. If I sit down and pray, if, let's say, I don't have space to pray standing, of course, pilots can sit down and pray. If the time will finish before he reaches the destination. But if he can, if the time will still remain until the destination, then there is no justification for praying seated. No. And this is for everyone, not for pilot alone. Next. Well, that's the only question. Alhamdulillah, that's a gift for Ramadan, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good. And you might see me talking sometimes, you know, for the phone. It is out of love, not to disturb you. I know the heart is connected to it. Yeah, but this little time that we have, let us just sacrifice it for. It's okay when somebody is taking note, but replying messages or going to somewhere else, it is inappropriate for the classes. Yeah, very inappropriate. Our scholars shout. Shout. And you see as if something, you know, very big musibah is taking place. Sheikhuna, Sheikh Mukhtar, even to see you holding siwak in the dars, wallahi, he shout. He would talk to you as if you are doing big jarima. Yeah. And it's good, actually, because whatever you do, it will distract you. You're supposed to be focusing so that you can get every single dot. The mudarris might be wrong, The reason why the student exists is to listen and carry everything properly. When he is wrong, also he made a mistake, they will be able to remind him. If they are busy with something else, they will not be able. Yeah. So please take it positively. It's out of love for good for you, so that you will not miss a single thing. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. I know he's going to ask me a question. What is that question?
Question from Malaysia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
He's
Sheikh.
In Jeddah. He's not closer to Maghrib. That's why he's asking me.
أحسن الله إليكم في الدنيا والآخرة. What is the ruling on congratulating people on Ramadan's arrival, similar to the way we hug on the day of Eid?
Inshallah, there's no problem with that. بإذن الله عز وجل. Inshallah. Ramadan Mubarak. Inshallah. Okay, بارك الله فيكم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. فزا, you're too late.
No.
Oh, was it a question? Alhamdulillah. And I was just kidding.